Thank you, Joe. And good afternoon, everyone. Glad to see everyone here, and welcome to our visitors and everybody online as well. I was doing a Bible study this morning. I asked Google Gemini or one of them. I don't remember which one I asked this morning, but I went through and I wanted to find out. I was reading about the Brook of Kidron, and this has nothing to do with the sermon, by the way. So I asked. You know, what scripture is Absalom and the Brook of Kidron where David was running from his son? And it corrected me. It told me, it said, his son's name is not Amazon, it's Absalom. And it said, it's not the Brook of Kidron, it's not Kid Rock, it's the Brook of Kidron. And I was like, what? I must not have had my first cup of coffee this morning. I must have been slurring, but it was actually right. So I will say that, but I still say validate, whatever you get on there. But that, I thought that was a little humorous this morning. Kid Rock, I just couldn't get over that one. But what I want to speak today a little bit about is emptiness. Emptiness. You know, we all have empty spaces in our life from time to time, and we all feel that void and perhaps that feeling in your gut. I don't know, do you ever get that empty feeling in your gut? And it makes you ill. It makes you physically ill when your life is in that empty place. Your emotions can be mixed. Things are going through your head. You're losing sleep, which I've been having problems. I took a sleep study and nothing, they can't figure out what's wrong with me, but neither can my wife, so. Well, you know, you're not alone with sleep problems if you're having that from stress or anything. 74% of Americans are losing sleep over stress. 41% are losing sleep due to stress over AI and new technologies. And I know that one over AI, I was looking at that at like 4 o'clock this morning, so I don't know if that was making me lose sleep or whatever. 78% over finances, and this is in America, and I'll tell you probably why over finances, because we are all suffering from a keep up with the Joneses syndrome in this country. Everybody thinks they have to have everything, and it's nice to have things, and we just need to have it in perspective as Christians. Nothing wrong with having nice things, but we as Christians don't feel that we need to keep up with the Joneses. Sorry, George. 50% over politics, and I get that. I think most people are even tuning out from that. 65% over their jobs or some job-related stress. 41% from information overload. And the list just goes on and on and on. But I was like, well, how could they say that percent of that? I said, all these people, it's over 100% of the people aren't sleeping. Is everybody here getting sleep? I don't know. Wake up out there. I was just, okay. All right, sorry, I don't want to put you to sleep here today, but, you know, and we're all struggling to stay afloat in life, and what do people give you? An anchor. They hand you an anchor, thank you very much. That's what we get in life, isn't it? Especially when you're feeling empty and down. You know, despite the physical feelings of what we might be going through, you know, this is a time when God can do his greatest work in us. When we feel empty is the time that God can do his greatest work in each and every one of us. It's when we're struggling. It's when we feel alone. It's when we feel empty that God wants to seek to fill his children. He knows what you feel like. He knows what you're going through. God can fill that empty space. You know, when we're there, when we're empty, we feel empty, do we turn to God? You know, empty was never meant to be a permanent state for us, okay? If you're feeling empty all the time, that is a problem. This is when God should have our attention. Emptiness is an attention getter. He's trying to tell us something. You know, God built a desire in us to want to be filled. That's a catalyst. That's a catalyst to be drawn to him. It's like when you're hungry and you have food and your stomach's grumbly and gurgly and everything. You say, man, am I hungry? You go and you find food. You go and find the food. You fill yourself. That's how God wants us to come to Him. He wants us to hunger for Him. He can fill us both physically and spiritually. He's our sustainer to make us full and whole again. You know, humanity attempts to fill themselves with all kinds of things. They try to fill that void with empty things, things that truly never satisfy, and things that are very harmful at times. The question is, what are we filling ourselves with? And I think we have a real problem in this country, and I think it could be every one of us could, and we have Amazon, and I'm not downing Amazon. It's actually a very good thing. But, you know, I will tell you, it's probably a little known thing that people think about. We are a bunch of shopaholics. We are. I mean, think about it. How often do you go on Amazon and just push that button? I need this. I need that. I get this. I want that. I want this. This is cool. Way cool toy. That's way into technology. Oh, that's way cool toy. I want this technology. But, you know, we have all these addictions. Some are gambling. They get the high. And now you got online gambling. Woo, man, let the wheel spin. Ah, man, they'll lose $3,000, but they tell you about, I won $500 today, but they lost $3,000 yesterday. But that's what they want you to do. So you get that little high. Then there's the sexual addictions. There's pornography, fornication, and adultery, and not necessarily in that order. Some even fill themselves with their job. Nothing wrong with that. In balance. Some fill themselves with their spouse or their children. Nothing wrong with that if you're putting God first and you're not putting them first. That's actually a good thing. You know, we try to fill a void, but without God, it's like taking a teaspoon of water and trying to water a desert garden, a whole acre of a desert garden. Have you ever tried to do something? Before you'd even get that teaspoon of water, it might even evaporate as it hits the ground. It doesn't even satisfy. But that's what the world gets. They are not getting satisfaction from what they're doing. They're empty. It's futile. The dry ground just sucks it up or it evaporates. You know, God often works by bringing people into our lives. God brings people into our lives. Sometimes that's how He's trying to fill the emptiness. If we're not using God's Holy Spirit, we can overlook the gift that God's giving us in our life. You could be rejecting what God's trying to help you with. And I've seen people do that. You know, God has given us His church and He's given us a family. And thank you for mentioning that today, Michael. That was very good. He's given us a family and a body of believers so we can have each other to rely on and to build our lives and our dreams on. If you can't tell, God's a dreamer. We're His dream. We are God's dream. But God's working through flawed people in the body of Christ, and we all have issues, but we need to learn to take those differences and become one. We can't function properly without each other. We need each other. I need your kidney. You need my liver or heart. I have a real strong heart. I'll give you heart, okay? I'll try to give you heart. You know, thinking we can do anything by ourselves isn't a formula for success. We're not an entity of one. None of us are an entity of one. We need each other, and God made it that way. You know, successful nations, societies, and churches are built upon cooperation and loving each other and having that unity to get things done. That's what's made successful nations, successful societies, and successful churches. The body should be giving us meaning and purpose. That's what we're here for. We have a purpose in life. We have a meaning. And God will fill those voids through that purpose and mission that He's given us here with each other and in His church. You know, humanity's search for meaning is complex, But God has given us more than breadcrumbs to see what our meaning is and our purpose in life. He is there and something that we can't avoid and deny. And this world tries to avoid God every way they can, and they try to minimize God in every way they can because they don't want to be accountable for anything. People don't like to be accountable. God brings us to an account. We have to account for our actions. But he gives us more than breadcrumbs. He's there. There is evidence that he is here. First, God's given us the undeniable proof of his awesome existence through his creation. It's springtime. How many of you took a walk this morning on the Sabbath? Anyone? Wasn't it awesome just to go out there? It was a cool morning. It wasn't too hot. It was beautiful. The blossoms were on the trees. And God is telling us something. He wants us to enjoy that. We get so caught up. We sit inside the house with our computers and our TVs and, you know, having to cook dinner and having to do this. Get outside. Go take a walk on the Sabbath and enjoy God's creation. Enjoy what he's given us as a gift. It's a gift. He wants us to. He made it for you. He made that for us. He wants us to enjoy it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. I bet you're wondering, when is this guy going to get to a scripture yet? He needs to. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them forth, each of them by name. God calls them all by name, and that's why I say that company that sells the names of stars is going to have to give everybody a refund in the kingdom. Psalm 104, verse 24, if you'd please turn there. Psalm chapter 104, verse 24. How many are your words, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures, your creation. Go and look for things in his creation. I go and feed the birds in our park, and I do it all throughout the winter. I've done it almost since Lisa and I moved in this development. So I've probably been doing it about 28 years or so. And I feed them a bag of seed every day, and it's got peanuts and almonds, and Lisa puts walnuts in there, and we just get all kinds of birds in the winter. And now squirrels. Now we have a lot of different species of squirrel this last couple of years. I had this little red one. He's only about from like here to here, and he comes almost right up to me and just grabs those peanuts, and he starts eating them away. But he's got all this little hair. He looks like something from Star Wars. The little hairs on his ear all spurting out all over the place. But he's speaking 90 miles an hour, Neil. This guy moves at least 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, and he chews that fast too. But I was like, you know, God, just something simple like that just makes me smile to see that. I just love to see God's creation. And then when I go to feed the birds, they fly from this hill, and sometimes, and Lisa will vouch for this, there are over 100 and sometimes maybe close to 200 birds sitting up in rows of pine trees, and they come swooping down as soon as they see me in my yellow coat. They see me coming, and I see them all of a sudden, two dart down, four, six, 10, 12, and they just come out, and they're waiting for me. Nuthatchers and blue jays and just the cardinals, and they're just waiting for me. And that's God, and I connect with God that way. To me, that's just amazing, and it's just something he gave me to enjoy, and I just love it. But we need to, it fills that emptiness in me sometimes. When I walk down there and I get away from the stress of my job, the stress from life, I go there and I'm like, God, this is amazing. Your creation. First of all, these things that fly. You know, here's me trying to, all right, I can't do that. But God made them. They can fly. I'm too fat, so that's probably my problem. But it's just amazing to see his creation. You know, but as I was saying, God brings us together in this life as his people. Let's enjoy each other. Let's enjoy God's creation. When we're empty, do we look to God simply and purely? It's those simple things sometimes that bring us closer to God. It doesn't have to be this complex mind bending thing. God brings us some simplicity in his life. You know, his awesome creation is how all things work so beautifully and masterfully together. And that can only come from God. He put this complex ecosystem together. I could see everything, the way the waters run. The waters feed the plants. He has riverine species of trees that the birds can build nests in. And there are certain things. We had a beaver in our tiny little park, built a dam one year in there. And it was just so cool just to see those things. But God builds this complex ecosystem for us to simply enjoy it. We can simply enjoy us and help us fill a little bit of that emptiness. And this is just a simple way to do that. Enjoy the springtime. Enjoy the Sabbath. Fill yourself with God's creation on the Sabbath. I think you'll find it really refreshing. God's handiwork can help fill us when we're empty. It all works in that beautiful ecosystem. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. When we see these things, do we thank God? Do we praise him when we see his creation? Do we praise him when he's intervening in our lives and he's filling that emptiness? We have such an unthankful world today. We can't be that way. Let's not be unthankful people. If we are unthankful to each other, I think it's a reflection of, I'm going to take a wild guess here, it could be that we're a little unthankful to God as well. I think we need to take a look. Are we unthankful? Let's thank God for the things that we have. But God says he will not excuse people for denying him as the creator. He's given clear-cut evidence of everything that surrounds us, including the food we eat and the water we drink that sustain our lives. That's evidence that he's there. It's not blind faith, brethren. It's not blind faith. It's solid evidence that God exists. Second, what about God's word, the Bible? What about his Bible? The Bible is, this is his evidence. There's history, there's prophecy that has come true, there's prophecy that will come true. There's complexities in here that the more you read, the more you see this could only come from a mastermind, someone who's so superior to us because of the depth of his word. Back in ancient times, they didn't have printed versions of the Bible. They didn't have electronic versions of the Bible. They had a few Dead Sea Scrolls, right? They had scrolls that they had to read off of, and only a few people had those in their possession. If they didn't memorize it, they didn't have it. Today we have 900 versions of the Bible in English, and it's been translated into 700 languages. So I'd like to know how many versions that exponentially goes out to of the Bible, but how many people take it out and read it? But not just read it, study it. We're supposed to be the studiers, not the readers of the Bible. We are the studiers of the Bible. We need to understand his word. We want to understand God and who he is, and he will fill us when we're empty. The Bible will fill you. Despite the fact that there are so many copies of the Bible, even those who do read it, some of the people, they don't understand it. God's not opening their minds today. He's not opening their minds. Some of them read it just out of curiosity. They're not serious about it. Some are religious hobbyists. Some people read it for self-gain and manipulation. Look at some of the mega churches. You don't think there's a lot of money out there? There's a lot of churches that have a lot of cash. And they've proven to not spend it very wisely at times, as we read in the papers. You know, but all of that will be changing when Jesus Christ returns. He's going to change all that. And that'll be in the future. He'll fill this earth. He will make it full. It will be filled with His Word. They won't be empty anymore. They'll have love and joy and true knowledge and true peace. And God's going to make this world full. Let's continue in Romans chapter 1 and let's go down to verse 28. Here is what this world is filled with. Romans 1, 28. And when as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting, being filled with, they fill themselves with something, that void will always be filled, unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to do the same thing, but also approve of those who practice them. That's what the world has filled that void with. That's what that emptiness can be filled with. And brethren, we can have one or more of those too. Might not be evident. Hopefully none of us have all of those. That's a pretty long list. But, we could have those in our lives. We need to make sure we're filling that emptiness with God. We need to allow Him to. He wants to fill you with Him. That's why He's given us the offer of His Holy Spirit. In verse 29, it states, full of and filled with. Two times it's talking about being full. I think God's trying to tell us something. Paul emphasized that we fill that void. We have a void without God, and humans will fill it with something. Something always fills that void. What will that be in me and you? We need to be aware that God wants to use this time when we have that emptiness to work with us. That's what He wants to use it for. We need to be aware of that when we come to this point that we feel empty, that we feel like we're in a wilderness. There's something that God's doing in us. We can't lose sight of that because that's what He's doing. He works in our lives. And He's doing it or allowing it for a reason. Third is He gave us a Savior. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, which we just looked to during Passover. He gives us hope. He fills that void for us with hope. By His sacrifice, we have the door open to salvation. We can be filled with that hope. If we have His Holy Spirit, we have that hope living inside of us. If we have His Holy Spirit. Let's become filled with His Spirit so we have the strength to live the way of life that He wants us to live. So we can overcome and we can respond to the work that He's trying to do in each and every one of us. If we let Him. If you'd please turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit is powerful. They spoke the word of God with boldness. These were not seasoned speakers, brethren. These were just ordinary men, and they went out and they made an impact on this world. They spoke God's word with boldness. That was the Holy Spirit working through them. 2 Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. And I'm going to read this from the Holman's Christian Bible. I thought it was a little clearer here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by Him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. God's in charge, and he filled you. He's in charge of everything that's going on in this earth, and he's the one who fills us. His power and the spirit he has given us, we should not minimize. As we look to the Feast of Pentecost, as Michael had mentioned, it's only 36 days away. We need to realize the power that God's given us in his Holy Spirit. If we have his Holy Spirit, we're being judged now. And judgment is on us. And what we're going to be judged with is if we use it. If we use God's Holy Spirit. When we use God's Holy Spirit. And how we use God's Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ died so that we could have it. And I've mentioned this before. If we neglect the Holy Spirit in us, it's just like social services. If you're neglecting your child, it's considered abuse. Could any of us be abusing God's Holy Spirit? Neglect is a form of abuse. Next, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know, we can have peace of mind in that emptiness. God gives us the ability to have a peace of mind, even when we're feeling empty. You know, humanity's search for meaning was made complex when we brought sin into the world. You know what sin is, brethren? It's ignorance. It's ignorance of the knowledge of God. As smart as humanity thinks that we are, we embraced ignorance when we embraced sin. And the world has this perpetual, universal search for the meaning of life. But we have the knowledge of that. We have the real knowledge of that. God's given us that. We don't have to be searching and trying to wonder what our destiny is. They're in that endless search. You know, it crosses over cultures and generations and religions and every level of education. Everybody's in search of this, and they can't seem to be comforted. We can have that comfort that God will give us from that, with that emptiness that we might be experiencing. You know, the desire for purpose is built in us. God hardwired us for that desire for purpose. We want to find out what our purpose is. That's why he placed eternity in the hearts of man, Ecclesiastes 3:11. That is in our hearts. God put that there. But humans rejected God's purpose. They wanted to create their own. And look where it's taken us today. You know, Job was a man who became empty, but not of his own doing. I mean, a lot of times we're empty because of things we've done in our lives. But his wasn't of his own doing. When he was empty, he questioned his own existence. You know, he wished he had never been born. God refocused him and made him even better afterwards. Let's turn to Job chapter 1. We'll start in verse 9. Job chapter 1, verse 9. Satan was talking to God here and says, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Now, Satan thought, if he emptied Job, I got him. I'm just going to empty him of his stuff. I know what these humans thrive on. You know, Job was a man who loved God. He feared God. And we need to have that so we can be full as well. Job is an excellent example of loving God. I don't believe, I know a lot of us have experienced pain and suffering, but I don't think any of us have experienced the pain that Job had experienced. I know people who have lost a child. I know people who have lost a spouse. I know people who lost their home to a fire. They lost their jobs and went to financial ruin. But Job had it. Most of those things happen all at once. Just think of the heavy burden of losing like everything at one time, coming on you at one time. He had all that crushing weight, but yet he never turned on God. He never turned on God. Let's jump down to verse 13. Now there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and the messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came to him and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Just think how you would feel if you got all that information. Talk about input overload and feeling empty. This man felt empty. Then Job rose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What a man. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Job's beginning and ending were both full, but he experienced a great emptiness in between. But God used the empty in his life to make the changes that he wanted in Job. God used that. Satan thought that he had him, but Job proved to be humble and loyal to God anyways. Through all his suffering, he was blameless. Satan was allowed to empty Job. God allowed him to do that, but God filled him back up. That's what he does for us. That's what God wants to do for us. Job was full and overflowing in the end, and he'll be in God's kingdom. Let's fast forward to the results. Job chapter 40, verse 10. "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." Drop down to verse 16. "After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children, his grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days." God filled Job. But again, we'll see Job in God's kingdom. He'll have eternity. That's where he will truly be full. And that's our destination, brethren. That's what we want. So I have one question for you today. What are you full of? Let me rephrase that. What are we filling ourselves with? Or what are we allowing God to fill us with? Those are things we need to think about. Feeling empty is not a comfortable state. I could tell you when I felt empty or I felt in a wilderness in my life, it was uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. We desire to fill that space, and so does God when he's working with us. And remember that. He wants to take that space and fill it with the proper things and good things. But we need to let him and we need to tune into him. Are we listening to God and his Holy Spirit? Do we listen to his Holy Spirit? Do we try to listen to his Holy Spirit? And we do that by getting closer to God, by praying to him, by trying to understand more about him, by reading his word and studying his word. A wise man once told me to give everything a season. Give it a full season. God wants to use the time to put good things in your life to the full. But sometimes we need to get out of the way. It's us that's in the way. It's God's will, not ours. That's what we need to look to. We just went through examining ourselves during Passover, but that process doesn't end for a Christian. That continues on through the year. It continues on and on. God's holy days build on each other. It's not a single focus. We go from the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, and we go to Pentecost, and we go to Trumpets, and the Days of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and Last Great Day. It all builds on each other. It's not the end. And then we do it again the next year. And we build on that from the previous year. That's what God is expecting on us, to keep building. That will help fill our emptiness. I think I'm running out of time here today. So Pentecost is just about 36 days away. Let's focus on becoming full with and by God. Only God can fill the void of humanity. Only God has that ability. And that includes in you and me. We've all damaged ourselves and others so much that it takes divine healing. And that can only come from Jesus Christ and the power that he gives us with his Holy Spirit. The transformation that God wants in us can't happen by sheer human will. Sheer human will won't do it. It takes God's Holy Spirit to produce character. He wants to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control in each one of us. And remember, that is a single fruit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it is the fruit. And all of those make up that fruit. It's supposed to be our way of life. This is what we're to be living. It doesn't just happen here at church. It should be happening at home and at work, no matter where we're at. It doesn't matter. In our cars, that's where I have the hardest part. But God is doing a great work in you. He wants you full. I hope you feel full. Save me some snacks out there.